Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. It is Wednesday, the 30th of September. We got a lot to talk about, including the most added, most dropped players in CBSSports.com fantasy leagues. We got a redesigned website, too. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Right there, huh?
What? I like it.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a weird way to say cool. Yeah, I give you that. Jamie and Heath are here. No Dave on the Wednesday show. And who are you most excited about adding that you got in your leagues last night?
I didn't get anybody because Dave added everybody. Like every league I'm in, I go to the waiver wire report and Dave's name is on there like three times.
You know what is always a good indication of how Dave is doing in fantasy? When he's either spending big on players, like free agents, or just all over the map.
Yeah. Yeah, he made a lot of additions to his teams last night. I'm trying to think of people I actually got. And I think the one name that I did get in an 18-team league was Allen Hurns.
Oh, wow.
So that might be
the jackpot.
Might be the only person I actually picked up this week so far.
I got a lot of guys. Did you see who I spent $16 on in the podcast league?
No.
A Buffalo Bills running back.
You went on Booby Dixon?
Yeah, accidentally, because I thought it was Carlos Williams.
How do you think somebody...
Whoa. This brings back nightmares for me.
This is a big mistake that I made. So, I'm reading my morning transaction emails.
Oh, what are you going to do, Mr. Commissioner? Are you going to fix the problem?
No, this is a mistake that doesn't get fixed. This
was honest mistakes.
This is not an honest mistake.
Wait. If you would have appealed to the league and say, whoa, I thought I was picking up Carlos Williams
to
do my transaction, I'm sure everybody that's on your side would have said, go ahead,
Adam, totally different. This was not an honest mistake. No, this was just stupidity.
I think because
you've
already fixed mistakes for more than half the league, if we had a vote on it, you'd probably win.
Well, I'm not voting on it because I don't deserve to win. But yeah, so that was the first transaction email I read, and I said, oh my God, I just bid $16 on Anthony Dixon. And what really bothers me is that the guy I dropped, I had another bid in for Antonio Andrews, and I would have gotten him if I didn't pick up Anthony Dixon. So then I read my second transaction email, and again, I picked up Anthony Dixon in another league. And that was, luckily, those were the only two leagues I did that in, but Anthony Dixon.
How did you do that twice?
I don't know. I saw Buffalo running back in the projections, and I don't know. I have no excuse. It was a really stupid mistake. Okay. Let's look at the most added list. Charles Clay, Rashard Matthews, Derek Carr, Carlos Williams, Thomas Rawls. Pretty standard stuff, but how about Charles Clay, number one overall, now 53% owned?
Every Rob Gronkowski owner needs a replacement. I picked him up in two leagues.
Did you say Carlos Williams after you said Charles Clay?
It's not in terms of who's owned in the most leagues, it's who's gone up the most.
I understand, but Carlos Williams was 49% yesterday.
No.
Wasn't he?
46.
No, 46. Oh, really? Yeah, he was under 50.
Now he's 69%.
Whoa.
We'll have another round tonight. He'll probably be in the 70s or 80s after tonight. So what do you think he should be, like, 90% owned?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
At least.
Michael Vick, the Eagles DST. Do you like them this week?
I like the Eagles DST. Probably of all the defenses we're out there on waivers, I think they are the most likely to have a big game.
Well, Vick was, you know, simply because of the Roethlisberger owner. Every Roethlisberger owner needs a quarterback. And I had an interesting decision in our 2QB league. I was second on waivers behind Will Brinson, and I put in for Carlos Williams first. I, if you recall, went with the stellar draft plan of Drew Brees and Andrew Luck, not in that order. That hasn't worked out very well. I'm 0-3. Losing Kelvin Benjamin in that league hurt. And then Brees and Brandon Cooks, who I also have that combination.
I think I waited until like the sixth round on that one and got Tom Brady.
Yeah. That's what happens when we draft early and comparatively.
I feel so bad for you guys. I'm the Sam Bradford, Ben Roethlisberger, Jay Cutler owner in that league.
Well, it's funny because I knew the only other person that probably would pick up Vic would be you.
Yeah.
And so I put in for Carlos Williams first, thinking if Will passed on him, I would take Carlos Williams. I'm also the LeSean McCoy owner, so you can tell how that draft has gone. And Vic was my second option. I had to start Brandon Whedon last week. So I thought if I got Vic, I was going to keep all four quarterbacks and then approach you about a trade. I'm at the point where I'm ready to trade Andrew Luck for two quarterbacks. So if anybody listening in our league would like to make a two-for-one,
I've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Alex Smith.
I'll give you Bradford and the Steelers guys.
You two guys are not going to make the deals.
Well, the only other quarterback's Brady, and I think I'd rather have him than Luck.
I would rather have Brady than Luck, too, but there's still a scenario of, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
More guys on the most added list. Marvin Jones, Dan Carpenter, Tyrod Taylor, the Colts, and Andy Dalton. And actually, the last, I just want to focus on one guy. So we talked about so many of these guys yesterday. Rishard Matthews. I did something that might seem crazy. I actually dropped him in a league because I'm afraid to use him this week. And then, because of Revis, as you mentioned, Jamie, and then he's on a bye.
Yep.
And, one red zone target.
Wait. I think we can both agree that it's okay to drop Rishard Matthews unless you're telling me that you dropped Rishard Matthews before Anthony Dixon.
No,
you did, didn't you?
No, but I think it's going to be equally as unpopular. I'm pretty sure I dropped him for Ted Ginn.
Not horrible.
This week, I need to start someone this
week.
That's
not horrible.
Okay. So, to the most drop list, Cody Parkey's on IR. Patriots DST were dropped. The Browns DST. Teddy Bridgewater. Bishop Sankey. Dolphins DST, Charles Johnson. Any beefs, any gripes with anything I've said so far?
No.
Nope.
Other than adding Anthony Dixon. Nelson Agholor.
Unbelievable.
Nick Foles. Devontae Adams, down to 82%.
That's probably a little too high still. Really, for what? I mean, the fact that he was questionable going into last week and then hurt his ankle and left the game after one play and didn't come back. He's probably not going to play this week. Wouldn't we agree on that?
I would expect him to sit.
And he's done almost nothing in the two games that he's played.
He's really played 1.5 games.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I don't know. I guess 82 is fine. But
I have a feeling he's going to be one of the, you know, there's always guys that we drop early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end of the year, it's like, why did I drop this guy? I have a feeling him, Charles Johnson, Agholor, all three of those guys, all three I like, by the way, all three of those guys have a chance by the end of the year to be relevant.
My concern for Adams is if the Packers over the next week or two play a team that actually moves their corners around and puts their best corner on Randall Cobb, he has one or two big games and Adams can come back and he could be the fourth receiver.
You didn't say, I think you meant Ty Montgomery.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't say his name.
You guys know. You knew who I was talking about.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure everybody else did.
Ty Montgomery, of course. One guy not on the most drop list is Steven Goskowski. And there is no way I would drop Steven Goskowski. I would carry two kickers. How about you?
If I had the roster space to do it, the one thing that you would try and do if you're the Steven Goskowski owner is do it Saturday.
Right.
Yes.
With the hope to try to get him back.
He is the number one kicker, is 1 point ahead of Josh Brown, but,
there's that Giants talk again.
Yeah, exactly. So let's preview the Giants game for the rest of this show. No, this show is for the people. So I want to talk about some of the trending topics. Is Julio Jones the number one?
Wait, can we just tell everybody about how mad you are right now?
Can I just finish my sentence?
No.
There is nothing the people like more than hearing about your angst.
Angry Adam?
Do you know what, about AAA?
Uh-uh.
Angry Adam Azer?
Angry Adam Azer.
Today's AAA day, no question. We got the podcast started really late because I was having a major technical issue that simply required me restarting my computer, which took me 40 minutes to
So, wait, let's just back up for a second. So, last night, you thought Anthony Dixon was Carlos Williams.
Yeah.
Today, we sat here, and Heath and I had a lovely conversation. We've enjoyed our morning.
45 minutes, but it was nice.
And I was actually on time. And it was all because you don't know how to turn button on and off.
No, see, that's a Jamie story for you. It's not that I didn't know how to turn a button on and off. It's that I didn't think that would fix the problem. It didn't seem like that would have anything to do with the problem.
Have you ever called an IT department before in your life? What is the first thing they say to you every time you call IT?
This issue felt like it had absolutely nothing to do with that.
Have you rebooted yet? That's the first thing they say every time you call them.
He was blaming, now, I hope I'm not exaggerating. You were blaming everybody else that's ever touched that mixer besides you.
Oh, you hope you're not exaggerating? I think you're exaggerating just a little bit.
You weren't?
No!
That's what you were blaming everyone that had touched it in the last 24 hours.
That's possible.
Okay.
I think
the mixer wasn't working.
The problem was?
What?
It was your computer overloaded because of too much Anthony Dixon.
Yeah, exactly. The mixer wasn't working. So how am I going to say, oh, I need to turn the computer that the mixer is connected? Forget it. This show is about the people. I want to read some emails and tweets. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Made it about the people already.
Is Julio Jones the number one player in fantasy? Should you sell high on some older wide receivers? We'll preview the Thursday night game. We'll do some grade the trade. We will not have Stephen Owen today, unfortunately. That's my fault. That's because
I had so many questions for him.
Ran out of time and didn't restart the computer early enough. Patrick Donnelly on Twitter. Rank rest of season. Tannehill, Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Mariota, and Carr. Tannehill, Dalton, Taylor, Mariota, Carr.
You want to go first or you want me to?
You go ahead.
Okay, I will go Dalton, Taylor, Tannehill, Carr, Mariota.
I'll go Dalton, Tannehill, Taylor, Carr, Mariota.
So you guys both had Mariota last?
Yeah, but this is all a good group.
Yeah, it's not a distant last. I could see him finishing as high as third.
Something I pointed out about Carr on Monday's show was that his last two matchups have been cake, Baltimore and Cleveland. This week should be good, too.
Then something about Marcus Mariota is he's faced the Browns, the Buccaneers, and the Colts.
Yeah, I'm not arguing for Mariota over Carr. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Carr. Is he just taking advantage of good opportunities, or is he in a second-year breakout?
Part of being a decent QB2 is being able to take advantage of good matchups.
Yep.
Most of those guys that are in that range are not good against the Seahawks or the Broncos or other good defenses.
I don't want to put Amari Cooper in this category, but how good and bad has Stafford been with or without Calvin Johnson? How good has Matt Ryan been with or without Julio Jones?
Right.
And so good to great receivers elevate quarterbacks to another level. And we probably would have seen it with Tony Romo, how good or bad he would have been without Dez Bryant. And so I think Amari Cooper is that type of receiver that he can elevate a quarterback. And so you're seeing a guy that's just making plays for a guy that has, you know, we saw the potential last year. He just didn't have guys around him.
Sure. All right. Kyle Thomas. I have Tom Brady on a bye. Who do you like better, Carr or Flacco for this week? And we did not really talk about Flacco yesterday, but he obviously has a good matchup, and he's been throwing a ton and scoring 24 fantasy points each of the last 2 weeks. I think he's 24 and 25.
You know, the knock on him has been usually his road performances. And so 2 weeks ago, what he did, it clearly was Oakland, but, you know, you got to buy into that a little bit. Last year, his last game against the Steelers was in Pittsburgh, 22 fantasy points. The one thing, though, I would say, and I'm actually looking at this with Nick Foles. Remember, we were all over Nick Foles last week, and I think, Adam, I saw one of your transactions just because I was looking at a transaction report. You actually dropped Tyrod Taylor for Nick Foles?
Actually, I think I dropped... Yeah, I chose between Carr, Taylor, and Foles. I chose Foles, and I lost to you in the Fantasy Football Today League because of it.
In fairness to Adam, he thought that was Kurt Warner.
Exactly. yeah, oops.
But, I think it was we bought into the Steelers being bad. Have the Steelers had a bad performance against quarterback yet not named Tom Brady?
Well, Kaepernick
threw for 350 yards against him.
Oh, what am I thinking of then? Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of something else.
That's all right. You just made angry Adam a little happier.
Sorry. I don't know. Maybe it's a run defense? The run defense.
Their run defense, yes.
Their run defense has been good.
Yeah, that's what it was I'm thinking of.
I think I'd rather have Carr.
Stupid, Jamie. Carr
over Flacco.
I would rather have Carr over Flacco too.
Yeah.
If it was Sunday versus Sunday, it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, we see teams all the time rally around backup quarterbacks for one game. And on a short week in a division matchup, I could see that being an ugly, gross game.
It usually is between those two. But that's when they had good defenses. So they're different teams now. But we'll preview that game later. Here's an email from Brad. Dear Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. I have no idea. What do you think about playing Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount, not this week, obviously, at the same time? Could I potentially guarantee myself points each week with both in the lineup?
I would say when they're playing bad defenses like the Dolphins. you gotta buy into game flow. You know, it's going to be one of those situations where it could have easily happened in week two against Buffalo. They decided that they were going to embarrass the Bills defense in their building. And you saw last week what could happen when they're playing a cake opponent, where it could be Lewis and the passing game and then Blount in the running game. So you'd have to be in a tough spot to trust both those guys, but clearly there's probably going to be, I would say, what would you say, 3 or 4 games where they could both have double digits. I don't want to say 3 touchdowns for Blunt and
right.
100 total yards for Lewis.
I think there will be several times throughout the bye weeks where you might be okay doing that.
How about, that was a new edition reference. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. New edition.
New edition. I don't know what that is.
That was, wasn't that Bobby Brown? Is that his band? Yeah, he was in it. He was background vocals. Okay, anyway, good stuff. Ken from Arizona. I have Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. I was hoping to use Martavis Bryant as trade bait later, depending on how he performed. With Ben out, how bad does it hurt Bryant's trade value?
Wasn't the third preseason game when Bryant and Vic went off right after the suspension?
Was it Vic?
It was Vic for one of them.
Yeah. He threw a touchdown to Bryant, I believe.
All right, but honestly, my response to that is, who cares? It was the third preseason game.
Well, I mean, it's not like Michael Vick isn't capable of getting the ball down the field. And again, going back to quarterbacks being elevated by receivers, Michael Vick, I don't think, has ever been in a situation with two guys like this.
Well, do you think Martavis Bryant still has good trade value? Do you try to trade him now before we see him play? Before we see him play, or what do you do?
Well, let me ask you this. So he comes back after next week. If you're 4-0,
right,
knowing that Roethlisberger is going to be there at the end of the season, why not try and trade for that guy, thinking that by the end of the year he could be a third receiver for you, or maybe even a starter?
Right. I think if I'm somebody thinking about trading for him, yeah, I wouldn't mind going and getting him before he plays. If I'm trying to trade him, I'm probably waiting until he does something good, because I don't think that his perceived value is going to be very high until he does something good with Vic.
But don't you think, though, this is the perfect time to buy him low?
Yes. If this guy's asking about trading him away.
But, Jamie,
I think it's a bad time to trade him away.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I think it's specific to, for buying him low for Martavis Bryant, I think it's specific to a team that's, you know, doing well right now, 3-0, maybe on its way to 4-0 or 3-1 or something like that. You don't want
to
buy him low.
Everybody that's listening to the podcast is doing well.
Well, that's
right now.
That's true, unless you start Nick Foles and pick up the wrong Bills running back. You're doing very well. Sean McDonald, can you guys please not advise anyone to start Crowell anymore? He was never good. He still isn't.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm falling into a trap again because San Diego's just been miserable with their run defense.
They're horrible against the run.
They've been so bad.
I never really viewed Crowell as anything more than like a flex with potential, you know, because he was good last year before Alex Mack got hurt. Yes, he was good. And then the offensive line suffered.
Were you saying he performed good in the limited carries he got?
Yes, he was 5 yards per carry.
Okay, but from a fantasy perspective, he had a couple of good weeks that were touchdown dependent.
Okay, but he didn't get the workload.
Right.
But
we've never seen him be good with the workload.
But the Cleveland running game was good last year. It isn't this year.
I'm sorry, just to go back to Michael Vick. It was a 63-yard pass to Martavis Bryant in that preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Certainly got the arm, like you said. Crowell, I think I dropped.
Did you drop him for Anthony Dick?
No, I probably dropped him for Ted Ginn because I'm the only one who likes Ted Ginn.
I don't mind Ted Ginn at all.
All right, good. All right, from Nick. I've stashed David Johnson. Is it time to drop him for Marvin Jones or Ryan Matthews in a 10-team league? What do you think about David Johnson?
For Ryan Matthews, for sure. I mean, you have to make that move.
What about for Marvin Jones?
In a 12-team league, I dropped Ryan Matthews 2 weeks ago and held on to David Johnson.
Well, how do you feel about David Johnson just in general?
We were just talking about this during our 45-minute conversation before the podcast started. And Jamie was reading some interesting Bruce Arians quotes about the running back situation this week. I believe in David Johnson's talent still. Mm-hmm. I think he may very well have the most upside of any running back in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he's going to get the opportunity this year.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, Bruce Arians on, I believe it was the Sirius NFL Network, told Alex Marvez that you could see a situation with Chris Johnson still getting 15 to 20 carries this week.
Yeah, what is that? That's annoying.
Chris Johnson looked really good last week.
Yes, he did. I will give him that. But Andre Ellington's better, unless they're just easing Ellington back in. But
it could be Ellington on passing downs, Chris Johnson on running downs. I know Johnson had the big catch last week, but it's not exactly he's been involved as a receiver.
What reason does Bruce Arians have to believe I mean, it was 2.5 years ago that he didn't really want to give the full workload to Andre Ellington. And then he decided last year he was going to, and he did when he was healthy, but Ellington got hurt. And then he was going to do it again this year, and Ellington got hurt. He didn't originally believe Ellington could handle the full workload. Now he's had several instances to prove that he can't.
It also could just be for this week. You
it
know?
Could be.
Yeah. Ease Ellington back in. Let's not overload him. See what he does in the passing game. And then it could always be, look, they have Super Bowl aspirations, rightfully so. This is a very good team. If Carson Palmer stays healthy, they're going to be in the mix at the end. They would like to have, I would imagine, a healthy Andre Ellington at the end. So if there's a guy you want to run to the ground, you assume run Chris Johnson to the ground.
Does this mean we're sitting Andre Ellington this week?
Yeah, something just happened.
I just got a trade notification in one of our leagues that we're in, and it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Oh,
my
no.
trade?
Yes.
Bang!
One of the most ridiculous things I've
Oh, get out of here.
Seen.
What is it?
Jamie just picked up Jamal Charles in the Office 26-team league.
That's
so a
right.
player like Jamal Charles, obviously kind of valuable since only like four teams have good players.
That's right.
But he gave up quite the haul. Quite the haul.
Yeah.
Devin Funchess, who the guy's probably going to drop.
Victor, no. You have to see this other roster. Remember how this draft ended with Dave rushing everybody through. A lot of people got auto-picked.
Victor Cruz, Devontae Freeman, who, I mean, obviously, he's the number one running back in fantasy football.
Selling high.
And Bilal Powell.
Oh, are you serious?
That's right.
For Jamal Charles?
And I was going to actually make fun of Dave for an offer he made to me for Jamal Charles last night. But I guess when trade offers like that get accepted, I need to make more trade offers.
I looked at an owner that had six quarterbacks on the roster in a 26-team league because they got auto-picked.
Oh.
And was starting Roy Helu and Jonas Gray.
Oh, man.
So I offered a bunch of players, sold high on Devontae Freeman, and clearly that owner accepted.
So unfair.
That's ridiculous.
It's not unfair, but it...
Way to prey on the owner, though. I mean, that's what you got to do. Look at the roster grid. See who needs what. I think right now is a great time to look at the Roethlisberger owner. I tried, actually offered a trade in the podcast league to the Roethlisberger owner, got rejected. I offered another one, got rejected. So that's not happening, but, give it a shot. So a reminder, Fantasy Football Today presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. Let's take a look at some of the early season trends. Something I noticed here. All right. Wide receivers are dominating right now. Players with 30 fantasy points or more in standard scoring leagues, non-quarterback. So we're looking at 10 fantasy points a week on average, which is pretty good. Right now there are 14 running backs who are at 30 points.
Wait, Adam, just by the way, not to cut you off, in this 2016 league, Anthony Dixon's still available. Should I pick him up?
No, I'll join the league and pick him up. 14 running backs are averaging 10 fantasy points a week. 21 wide receivers are averaging 10 points a week. And 6 tight ends, but it's really Gronkowski with 54, Kelsey with 38, and nobody else has more than 33. Last year, looking at players who averaged 10 fantasy points a week but scored 160, really it was 160 fantasy points. Now remember, there's injuries, there's attrition, so the numbers aren't going to be as big, but wide receivers and running backs were about equal. 11 running backs, 12 wide receivers, got 160 fantasy points or more, and 1 tight end, obviously Gronkowski. So this year, so far through 3 weeks, guys, we're seeing wide receivers outperforming running backs. Does that mean anything to you? Is the sample size too small? What do you think?
You can take this two ways. That the quote-unquote zero running back theory was a good one because the wide receivers have outperformed the running backs, or that there's 21 running backs averaging 10 points per week, so it's obviously a much deeper position, so you have to make
wide
sure you get your running backs right.
21 wide receivers.
Yeah.
Not running backs.
Said.
Only 14 running backs are doing that.
Sometimes you mean to say running backs and you actually say Anthony Dixon.
It's the joke that's going to keep on giving.
Yeah,
I love it.
I deserve it. Like, that was the thing. I saw that. I got like a pit in my stomach because I wasted so much money and I didn't get Antonio Andrews because of that transaction, but I said, I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this one on the podcast, so... At least it's not all bad news. Yeah, I mean, the first round running backs have been disappointing so far. You know, Lacy owners aren't happy. Marshawn Lynch owners aren't happy. CJ Anderson owners aren't happy. Jeremy Hill owners aren't happy. You know, it's, Do things turn around? Do things even out a little bit with wide receivers versus running backs?
Oh, I think so. Probably, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's a passing league.
It has been a passing league, though. This is extreme.
I will say all those names you just said make me feel just a little bit better about how wrong I've been so far on DeMarco Murray, because there's so many guys that were taken before and right after him that have been worse still.
Yeah.
So there's a positive for Heath.
Julio Jones. We talked about who the best players in fantasy are. I think a lot of people think Julio Jones would be the number one pick right now. Everybody is all over Julio Jones. He's got 34 catches, 440 yards, and 4 touchdowns in 3 games. I'll throw a little bit of cold water on it here. He's getting 38.4% of his team's targets. And even though he's obviously by far the best target, that's still an extreme amount.
Where's the cold water coming? I like that.
What do you mean?
That he's getting all those targets.
It's unsustainable.
I disagree.
I completely agree with me. It's unsustainable. He'll get hurt if he gets 38.4%
of the targets. Well, he gets hurt every week. Every single week by the fourth quarter, he's limping.
Not only that, but his 3-game stretch, not as good as a 3-game stretch Demaryius Thomas had last year in weeks 5 through 7 when he had 521 yards and 5 catches. That's 81 more yards and one, and not 5 catches, 5 touchdowns. 81 more yards and 1 more touchdown. Not as good as Odell Beckham over the last 3 games of 2014 when he had 36 more yards and 2 more touchdowns.
But you're making it out to be like he has to be that good.
All I'm saying is he might be the number one receiver in fantasy. I think for him to be the number one, I don't think he's the number one player in fantasy. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, how's the number one player in fantasy so far not Jamaal Charles? He's the number one running back.
I'm not saying in fantasy points. I'm saying if people drafted right now, from what I saw, what I've been seeing in emails on Twitter, I get the sentiment that a lot of people would take Julio Jones number one. I still don't think he's that far ahead of the pack at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think it would probably be Charles or Adrian Peterson going number one in most drafts still, but Julio would be, I mean, there were some people that were taking Antonio Brown, or even a few people that might have taken Odell Beckham number one overall this season. So sure, Julio could be. He's in discussion, I think, with Charles and Adrian Peterson. And Gronk.
And Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's taking Antonio Brown number one overall
now. But there's also an uncertainty. I mean, if Brown comes out and has 102 touchdowns, or right, you know, 150 yards and a touchdown, no one's going to blink an eye.
For that matter, Larry Fitzgerald, he's been better than Brown this year.
Larry Fitzgerald has been great.
Obviously, honestly, I think Gronkowski. I think the case is really strong for Gronkowski number one.
I would agree.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I just, the one team I have him on, I just feel so good about that team every week. Except for this week. All right, let's talk more Snickers here. You're Not You Player of the Week is presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. And this week's You're Not You Player from week 3, Heath, who you got?
Wasn't a very good week for Colin Kaepernick. He had some issues throwing the ball to the other team in the first quarter against Arizona, which Arizona is the best team in the NFL right now, so that's understandable. And
what?
I expect he's going to bounce back against the Packers.
They're not the best team in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I think you need to give the Patriots that title. They're the reigning champions. They're 3-0. They're playing great.
All okay, right. You got $100 to bet on a Super Bowl team right now. Who are you betting on?
Packers.
So it wasn't either one of those two.
No, I think you have to give the respect to the Patriots.
Why? Because of coaching?
Yeah. Yes.
Because really, coaching and quarterback is the only place I think you could argue that the Patriots are better than the Cardinals.
It's a huge edge that they have over a lot of teams. And it's no disrespect to Bruce Arians, but they're just... they're the Patriots. I mean, I don't think they were as good as the Seahawks last year, and they won the Super Bowl.
Are better defensively than the Patriots, considerably.
The Patriots going into last week led the NFL in sacks, so they're making up for their deficiencies in the secondary by getting to the quarterback.
That's because the opposing teams have to throw the ball 50 times a game because they're scoring 45 points, too.
I understand. Look, the Patriots didn't have the best defense last... They're the Patriots! They're the Patriots! You know, how could you take anything away from them?
I'm not. I'm just saying that they're not the Cardinals.
And what about the Packers?
They're right there.
Okay. Anyway, so Colin Kaepernick is our you're not you player. Let me ask you this. What do you guys think about Bolden and Torrey Smith rest of season? They've both had one good game and 2 stinkers.
I think that's probably about the ratio you're going to get the rest of the year.
Are they droppable?
No.
I wouldn't drop Bolden. I'd drop Torrey Smith if you need somebody.
That brings us to our satisfying performer of the week, brought to you by Snickers. Snickers satisfies. Heath, This week's satisfying performer was?
Let's just stay in the same game. And there were two choices given to me, Larry Fitzgerald or Steve Smith. And Fitzgerald's done it week after week after week. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get with Larry Fitzgerald. He's a stud. Larry Fitzgerald, satisfying player of the week. 5 touchdowns already.
Yeah.
I think there's only one other player with 5 touchdowns.
Fitzgerald is only 32. He feels older to me. Smith is 36.
Do you know who the other player with 5 touchdowns is?
Jamal Charles.
No.
Who?
Charles doesn't have 5? Pretty sure he does.
Charles does it. Dang it. I was thinking Travis Benjamin's. There's 2 of them.
Oh my God. Does that include his punt return?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Fitzgerald's 32. Steve Smith's 36. They're both top 6 wide receivers. Steve Smith is getting 31% of Joe Flacco's targets. And I noticed last year, I looked at 3 receivers in particular. I'm pretty sure it was Demaryius Thomas, Odell Beckham, and Antonio Brown. They were all right around 30% of targets. Larry Fitzgerald is getting, a lot more than that. He's not. His targets are fine. Steve Smith, on the other hand, is getting a lot of Joe Flacco's targets. 40 targets for Smith. No other Raven has more than 18, and that's Justin Forsett. Anyway, of these two guys, are both of them sell high candidates? What do you think, Smith and Fitzgerald?
Smith has got to be a sell high candidate. I mean, we saw it last year. Great start, played great, tailed off. It could coincide with if Rashad Perryman gets healthy. That's the one thing, is that there's nobody else in that offense. But,
right,
you know, this isn't sustainable.
What about Fitzgerald? What do you guys think about him?
You know, Chris Towers wrote last week,
poor kid,
sell high on Larry Fitzgerald. And then he doubled down this week and wrote, it's still okay to sell high on Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not selling high on Larry Fitzgerald.
If somebody came to you and said, Jamal Charles for Larry Fitzgerald, would you do it?
Yes.
If somebody came to you and said, DeMarco Murray and Amari Cooper for Larry Fitzgerald, you doing it? You're hesitating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'm surprised you hesitated on that one.
I think he is a sell high candidate.
I'll tell you the biggest reason why he is because of where you drafted him. You could have Julio Jones and Jordan Matthews and Amari Cooper,
and maybe
your fourth guy.
When I think sell high, I mean, I would have said you could sell high on Devontae Freeman. I'd never dreamt that you're going to get Jamal Charles for him.
No, you got to throw in Devin Funchess.
And Bilal Powell.
Yes, I would sell high on Larry Fitzgerald.
It's a 2016 league, people.
I hope that Dave vetoes that trade and reverses it.
No, he will not.
Let me throw out some names at you. Would you trade Larry Fitzgerald for Lamar Miller?
No.
You got to do better than that.
Would you trade him for Jeremy Hill?
No.
I don't think so.
Really? Is it because you think you can get more from him or because you think he'll be better than Jeremy Hill? Because
I think he's going to score more fantasy points than Jeremy Hill.
Does it bother you at all that Fitzgerald has 23 catches on 28 targets, so it just seems like he's overachieving, perhaps?
He's 100% overachieving.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like...
But it's, again...
He's got to be good, but, how good?
Okay. Keep in mind that depending on when you drafted, no Jordy Nelson, no Kelvin Benjamin, no Dez Bryant. Brandon Cooks is impacted by Drew Brees. Potentially Antonio Brown's going to be impacted by Ben Roethlisberger. You have a guy who's playing at a very high level right now. You should command a ton for him.
I got him in the 2 quarterback league, Jamie. I'll give you Roethlisberger, Vic, Cutler, and Fitzgerald for Andrew Luck and something.
I'm not going to do that, but you know what? I made a choice because Fitzgerald did not get drafted in that league.
Yeah, I know.
And I picked up Marshall over Fitzgerald. But not that that's a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, I could have picked up both of them. Well, thank you for not picking up Fitzgerald. I do appreciate that.
Make me a Larry Fitzgerald offer for Tom Brady after the show, and we'll get something done.
Perfect. It'll happen. Wow. Fitzgerald and Cutler for Brady.
I said after the show.
And Bilal Powell and Anthony Dixon.
You forgot Devontae Freeman.
FanDuel, everybody. Go to FanDuel.com/CBSPod if you want to compete against us. It's a $10 entry. FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Top 45%. Double up their money. And you can enter, Heath, you can help me out here, but you can enter as many as 10 times, right?
Per week.
Now, we do this tournament weeks 1 through 10, so you still have some time. And if you beat all 3 of me, Dave, and Jamie, You enter into a week 11 contest, that is free, and you can have as many as 10 entries into that contest, and that has $100,000 in free prizes. FanDuel is extremely fun. If you haven't tried it, you're really missing out. FanDuel, by far the best daily fantasy website out there. We have an offer code for you to use, CBSPOD. If you use that offer code, FanDuel's going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. So yeah, you can play with just a small group of friends. You can play in tournaments with thousands of people. You can play for as little as $1 as many times as you want. You don't have to worry about spending an hour on Tuesday night putting in your free agent claims and making stupid moves and picking up the wrong running back. You just set a new lineup every week anytime you want to play. FanDuel.com/CBSPod is our tournament.
You do have to make sure when you play FanDuel that when you mean to put one guy on your roster, you do put that guy on your roster.
But FanDuel's pricing, you know, obviously those types of guys are going to have different prices, so that you won't be able to make that stupid mistake. Fair?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Guys, let's move on. Injuries, news, and notes. We'll preview the Thursday night game. We'll do some rankings and see if we can read some emails here. I got to let you go early since I messed up and started the show late. Bruce Arians, we talked about what he said with Chris Johnson. Detroit, apparently the opponents know all of Detroit's plays. So things are not looking good for the Lions. Carolina defensive end Charles Johnson on IR designated to return with a hamstring injury. They did just trade for Jared Allen. Crockett Gilmore will not play tomorrow and does not look good for Breshad Perriman right now. Randy Bullock, Houston kicker. He was released. They signed Nick Novak. Do you expect in week 4 Drew Brees against Dallas?
As of now, I'd say yes.
Yes.
Jay Cutler against Oakland?
No.
No.
Marshawn Lynch against Detroit?
I think I do, but I'm not going to play him.
Arian Foster at Atlanta?
No.
LeSean McCoy against the Giants?
No.
No.
Devontae Adams at San Francisco?
No.
No.
Torrey Smith, same game?
I think so.
Eric Decker in London at Miami?
No.
No.
Sammy Watkins against the Giants?
No.
No.
Alshon Jeffrey against Oakland?
Yes.
Yes.
Dwayne Allen against Jacksonville?
No.
No.
Baltimore-Pittsburgh. Last four meetings have been mostly low scoring. No 100-yard rushers in the last four games. Antonio Brown, the only 100-yard wide receiver. He did that once. But, of course, we had a 6-touchdown game from Roethlisberger last year in the game that was in Pittsburgh. We'll start with the Ravens. Start or sit Joe Flacco?
Two QB leagues.
Yeah.
All right, so, again, we like Carr, Tyrod Taylor, those guys over Joe Flacco. Would you start Flacco over Stafford?
Yes.
Jamie, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you heard me.
Oh, did you guys both say yes?
We said it in concert.
Oh, very nice. Justin Forsett, start or sit against the Steelers, who are currently allowing 3.6 yards per carry.
This is the last chance for Justin Forsett.
Yep.
If he's bad this week, and I'm probably going to sit him unless I just don't have, I wouldn't sit him for Anthony Dixon, but I'd sit him for Carlos Williams. So.
All right, don't kill the joke now.
Well, I just was trying to give you a range.
I see.
Players okay. I would sit him or wouldn't sit him for.
Okay. Very, very cute. you'd sit him for Carlos Williams. I think a lot of people would. Would you sit him for Chris Ivory, who is expected to play?
I would sit him for Chris Ivory, yes.
I probably would not, only because if those are my only two options, Forsett plays on Thursday.
Fair point.
We're not really going to know for sure on Ivory by Thursday.
Would you sit Forsett for a wide receiver, Terrence Williams?
No.
Would I sit him for Terrence Williams? No, I would start I'd start Forsett.
I might sit him for Lance Dunbar. That's their best receiver.
Yeah. Steve Smith, top 15 wide receiver. In fact, he's 15th for both Dave and Jamie. Max Williams, sleeper appeal?
You know, it's interesting because the Steelers, I don't think, outside of Gronkowski, they have been beaten up by tight ends. I mean, Jared Cook and Vernon Davis were held in check.
Well, so, Vernon Davis actually had a pretty good game for Vernon Davis. 5 catches, 62 yards.
He had one big play. He had like a 43-yard catch in there.
Did Lance Kendricks drop a touchdown?
I don't know. I saw Jared Cook dropped at least 2 passes in that game. He held himself in check. But I don't. I do think the Steelers' problems seem to have been mostly with receivers, not with tight ends. And Max Williams is a rookie tight end.
Yeah.
So avoid.
I'd avoid.
What do you project for Michael Vick?
I'll say 225, 1-1 with 40 rushing yards.
That sounds about right. I'd go 175.
You forgot about the most obvious stat with him. At least two fumbles. In all seriousness, the guy is going to fumble.
Yeah, he'll fumble.
He fumbles. And Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, are they still must-starts?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Keep an eye on Baltimore's run defense. I mean, obviously, you're not sitting Le'Veon Bell, but Baltimore's still doing pretty well against the run. 3.4 yards per carry, seventh fewest rushing yards per game in the NFL. A lot of times that happens when you can't defend the pass. Are there any sleepers in
that game also?
Are there any sleepers in this game?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Max Williams. I don't think anybody else really. Vic would probably qualify.
Sure. Vic is below Flacco, right?
Yeah.
Vic is below Flacco, yeah.
Is Vic below Stafford?
I would start Vic over Stafford.
Oh, man. I'd probably puke in my mouth a little if I had to make that decision.
All right. Well, thank you for that image. Rank these guys rest of season. Chris Ivory. Rank these guys rest of season. Chris Ivory, Joseph Randall, Amir Abdullah.
I didn't hear the first two names. I'm sorry.
Chris Ivory, Joseph Randall, Amir Abdullah.
Oh, in that order.
Anytime you say three names and Amir Abdullah is one of them, that's the only one that Jamie hears is Amir Abdullah.
In that order.
I'm going to go Ivory, Abdullah, Randall.
It was like Chris Abdullah, Joseph Abdullah, and Amir Abdullah. That's what Jamie heard. Allen Robinson, Dante Moncrief, Keenan Allen.
Ooh.
Allen, Moncrief, Robinson.
I was going to go Moncrief, Allen, Robinson.
Moncrief, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson.
Jamie,
yes.
Who is first for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Keenan Allen.
All right. Talk about Keenan Allen. What are you thinking about him?
I mean, two of three games, he's gotten a huge amount of targets and he's delivered. I think you gotta buy into that.
He could very easily be a guy that finishes as a top 12 wide receiver that is, you're never comfortable with as more than a boomer bust wide receiver too. But because when he booms so big, he finishes top 12.
Rank these guys rest of season. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck.
Rodgers, Brady, Luck.
Rodgers, Brady, Luck.
Is Luck a distant third?
You know, it's funny. I said this stat a couple times before the season started. The number one quarterback drafted each of the last 3 years has not finished number one. And it's going to happen again.
I'm not sure that Luck's a distant third. I do think that Rodgers is a distant first.
It's so funny how, and I mean, I'm guilty of this. I don't know how you feel about it, Heath, that when he lost Jordy.
Yeah.
Like, not that anybody dropped him below two, but prior to that weekend, I actually toyed with the idea of moving him ahead of Luck.
Right.
Because of how fast they were playing. And he just, it's like, Jordy who?
I think that we might be discounting Andrew Luck just a little bit too early.
I don't know.
What's different?
You say this a lot sometimes. I don't think it's discounting Andrew Luck. The other guys are just playing at such a high level that I think they're just slightly better. Like he said, it's not a distant third. It's a close third. That the other two guys, I think, have a better chance of finishing ahead of them with the lead that they already have.
But I'm not asking that. I'm saying rest of season.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. This point forward, I still would take those other two guys because I don't see them slowing down.
Andrew Luck's best game so far is not as good as Aaron Rodgers' worst game so far.
Yeah, I know, but he's still Andrew Luck. He had two tough matchups. Last week was disappointing, but he threw 8 passes in the first half and 30 in the game. I mean, what is there not to like about Andrew Luck?
He was partially responsible for that, though, because he was throwing interceptions.
Well, they also had a pick six.
Yeah.
Sure, but think about one of those Frank Gore touchdowns. Last year would have been a pass to Ahmad Bradshaw. He's going to lose a couple of those.
All right, fine.
I agree with that.
And Andre Johnson's not living up to expectations. Now, you could argue, obviously, Dante Moncrief is exceeding them. But T.Y. Hilton has yet to play well. And so I just wonder if he's got a bad offensive line in front of him.
That's true. He does. Okay. Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton. Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton. Rank them.
4 or 6 points per pass touchdown.
5.
Well, I'm going to go Newton, Ryan, Dalton.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ryan, Newton, Dalton.
All right, we like Cam Newton, huh?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just wrote this in Start Sit for today that he's going to be one of those guys I look back on and go, it's same thing with Rodgers losing Jordy. You know, it's just was completely trying to run another direction because of Cam not having any receivers. And this is one of those situations where, you know, we're talking about Cooper making Carr better. Cam is making his guys better. He's made Ted Ginn relevant at least through 3 weeks. We'll see if he can do the same thing with Devin Funchess. And then he's just back to running like a beast again.
This is another really good example of why we preached and preached and preached Wade at quarterback too. Because, I mean, Ryan could be better than both those guys. He's not going to be a lot better than both those guys. Right. And Dalton could, or neither one could be number one out of that list or in the top five quarterback. And you could take him. You didn't have to draft Andy Dalton.
Right.
Let's finish up with some grade the trade here. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is from Lisa and Spencer. They have one of those joint email addresses. It's very cute. Grade
you
the trade.
Yet?
What? No, I don't.
You and Zoe?
grade bigcat2@gmail.com.
When you say big cat, do you mean Anthony Dixon?
Oh, God. Grade the trade. Dear Leonard, Sheldon, Leonard, and Raj. Why did he put two Leonards in there? That's weird.
I don't know.
What's the names on the email address?
Lisa and Spencer.
Yeah, Lisa wanted to do it once, but Spencer jumped in there and put it in the second.
Give up Peyton Manning and Ryan Matthews. Peyton Manning and Ryan Matthews for Andy Dalton and Doug Martin.
F.
I don't really know why you do this trade.
Well, he thinks it's a quarterback upgrade going from Manning to Dalton.
And I think Andy Dalton could be better than Peyton Manning the rest of the season.
Could, but it's not a slam dunk.
No, I think it's a pretty close to a 50-50.
And if you're just looking at running back value through 3 weeks.
Ryan Matthews looks more valuable than Doug Martin.
Ryan Matthews looks more valuable than Doug Martin.
I'm going to go C minus.
From
Jordan. Jamie only has two grades.
Yeah, A and F.
But that's a clear F.
Here's an email from Jordan. Hey, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Adam. Jamie spelled J-A-Y-M-E.
I like it. You
strangest.
Interesting.
He's J-A-M-E-Y, FYI. The FYI is not part of his spell. Give up Randall Cobb. Give up Randall Cobb. Get Marshawn Lynch and Brandon Cooks.
D plus.
Wow, you don't like Cooks and Lynch, huh?
I don't. I'm not trading for Marshawn Lynch right now. He's not one of my buy low candidates. He's a 29-year-old running back that has three different nagging injuries.
Do you feel though that he could?
He could.
Be just, I mean, because I ran into this last year when I thought his workload was going to catch up to him. I was a year too late. Too soon, excuse me. You don't think he could be one of those guys that just transcends age, a la Peterson?
He could be. He could be. I'm not betting on it.
Right.
By trading away. And Brandon Cooks looks like a wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
And Cobb's a 1 without it. One of the top 5, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably, I'm probably being a little rough on it, but you can only do A or F, so.
How do you spell my name again?
J-A-Y-M-E.
F.
Here's Patrick. He says, Dear Great Divide, Breckenridge, and Odell. I thought that was a Giants reference. That's the only reason I put it in the show, but there are three great Colorado breweries.
I've not had Great Divide or Odell. Breckenridge is very good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not had any of them. Grade the trade, needing wide receiver help. I give up Giovanni Bernard. I get Chris Ivory and Amari Cooper. Standard scoring, 14 teams.
Give up Gio for those two?
Yeah.
B plus.
A.
Yeah, that's an A, man. Good job. Joe, from a championship city in Ohio.
Cincinnati.
Grade my trade in a 12-team PPR league. I have Ben Roethlisberger. So I give up A.J. Green and Todd Gurley for Andrew Luck and Brandon Cooks. PPR. Give up Green and Gurley, get Luck and Cooks. That's tough.
Who's the quarterback?
Roethlisberger.
This is one of those that I would love to know who's on waivers.
Yeah, especially if, like, Andy Dalton is.
Or Carr.
Yeah. C-.
Yeah, I'm going to say F.
Brandon Cooks could be a great buy low. I know there are concerns. He just hasn't played that well, but don't you think he could be a good...
It is kind of alarming.
AJ Green is not a sell high.
No, he's not.
Kind of alarming, as I sit here, because Jamie and I were both very high on Brandon Cooks coming into the year, and we've jumped off quickly. But there's reasons.
What, though? Yeah. What reasons?
Huh?
What reasons?
Drew Brees has a bruised rotator cuff.
Yeah.
And if he's not 100%, like, he's going to try and gut through this game. He's not going to be 100%. I don't care how, whatever optimism he says. He's not 100%. He may be 80%. But Cooks was bad with Breeze 1.5 games when Breeze was healthy. He has best game with Luke McCown, so that's positive.
And Cooks, I don't think, has looked like... I mean, we had to do a little bit of projecting.
Yep.
That he was going to be good enough to be a number one option and excel in that role. And
he looked it in the preseason.
Yes. And through three games as in that role, he's not looked that way in the regular season.
Yep.
Preseason's meaningless. All right, we're done. We're just going to start the podcast next year in week one. We're not even going to do August.
Well, that I would imagine we will start in week one because through the entire month of August, you'll forget to turn the on-off button on.
Yeah,
and
right.
And reset the system.
Thank you all for listening. We're back tomorrow with some starter sit. Enjoy the game. Oh, no, it's not tonight. Never mind. Do something fun tonight. Go to the
and
movies.
You are just way off.
You need to go scour the waiver wire and find somebody to drop Anthony Dixon for.
You need to curl up with Zoe and take a nap.
Yeah, I'll do that later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.